Well, shall we start with prayer? Shall we ask God's blessing on his word? Well, God, we thank you that we can meet like this around your word, and we thank you that we have the promise of the Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there. And we pray you will speak to us through your word, give us hearts and minds and wills willing to listen to what you say and lives to obey it. May you receive the glory, may we receive the blessing for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak just for a few minutes on a passage in the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 6, and I want to speak on the first 8 verses. At least I want to speak on certain aspects of the first 8 verses of the book of Genesis chapter 6. It comes a very important place in the book of Genesis. In chapter 5, we're introduced to Noah. At the end of verse 8, well, in verse 8 itself, we take up again with Noah. Okay? So what's coming next then? What's coming next when you meet Noah in the Bible?
Flood.
Yes, you're going to meet the judgment of God. So here's a section, 6, 7, or 8 verses, locked in between. You know, the coming of Noah, as it were, and then the judgment. Now, in that passage, you read this. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And then he goes on to say that also after that, when the sons of God, this is in verse 4, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And then he goes on immediately to say, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and so on. You know the rest of the story. God said, I won't strive with man. I won't go on striving. And he was going to visit the earth in judgment. Now, maybe I'm silly for taking what I'm taking with you this morning. Maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Perhaps it's out of place. But it's a text which keeps nagging at me, so I want to speak on it. Okay? The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they chose them wives from the daughters of men. Now, the context here is very clearly judgment. You can't miss this. It's very, very heavy, this passage on judgment. So there is something about this sons of God and the daughters of men which is not right. What's going on here? Now, men take different views about what this means, sons of God and daughters of men. I haven't got time to deal with it all this morning. I'll just give you my own conclusion. You may not agree with me if you've thought about it, but I am convinced that this is what it means. When Adam fell, back in Genesis 3, that's only a few chapters before, the human race, the entire human race, was affected by his fall, original sin and all the rest. But from then on, the human race is divided into two. There is a spiritual line, and there is a unspiritual line. You get it in Romans 9. They're not all Israel which are Israel. Some really are true Israelites, spiritual. Some are just Israelites according to the flesh. They are not true spiritual Israelites. And you can find it right through the Bible. Sheep and goats. Broad road. Narrow way. Left hand. Right hand. Darkness. Light. Regenerate. Unregenerate, converted, unconverted, believers, unbelievers, in Christ, in Adam. It goes on and on and on. When Adam had children, Cain and Abel. When Abraham had sons, Ishmael and Isaac. When Isaac had sons, Jacob and Esau. And it goes on and on and on. Now what I see here, I haven't got time to go into it, the sons of God and the daughters of men, I see, this is speaking of those two lines. Here are the men who are in the spiritual line, and here are these women. They are good looking women, they are beautiful women, they are fair to look upon, but they are in the carnal line. You get it with Dinah, Jacob's daughter, and the sons of Shechem. You get it all over the Bible. And you get something else which is in the Bible too. Now when I was a young believer, which was a long, long time ago, but when I was a young believer, there was a word that was very commonly used. I'm sure of it. I don't think I'm dreaming. And the word I heard used again and again, we always used it, was separation. Oh, I see you nodding, some of you.
Yes.
I believe we talked a lot about separation. I believe we were taught to think in terms of we are separate from the world. Not in ourselves, we're not better than them in ourselves. We were all in the world once, but we have been converted out of the world. And we were taught to be separate.
Yes, yes.
Because we saw it in the Bible. I see it certainly in the book of Genesis. I see it in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there's Babylon. And what are the saints called to do? Come out from Babylon. What do you find in 2 Corinthians 6? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Come out from among them, says my Lord, said the Lord, and be my people. I see it over and over again. Mm. I'm prepared to sing hymns like this. It's a very old hymn book. I say that purposely. This is what Thomas Kelly wrote. 'Tis thy will that we should be separate from all around. Let our will with thine agree. Let thy people thus be found. 'Tis thy will that we should be, talking about believers, separate. I know we're in the world, but we're not of it. That's what the Bible says. Isaac Watts wrote, I like singing this hymn too. Zion's a garden walled around, chosen and peculiar ground, special ground, a little spot enclosed by grace, covered round with a wall, enclosed by grace out of the world's wide wilderness. That's how our fathers taught and thought. We were the ecclesia, the believers. We were in the world, but we were not of the world anymore. Today, my friends, I don't hear that word. What is more, I read books by men. I see churches which are doing the exact opposite of what I've just said. They're breaking down the walls. They're inviting the world in. They're copying the world. They want the world to like us. We're saying to the world, there's no difference between us, really. We've just got a little bit more. But you come along and you will find that we're just the same as you. No, my brothers and sisters. Jesus told his disciples to go out into the world. He didn't say, get the world in. He said, go out and preach. If I'm a lifeboat man, I go out in the lifeboat to rescue people at sea drowning. I don't get into the sea with them. I don't get the sea into my boat. I get them out of the sea into the boat. The point I want to make is this. If I am right about Genesis 6, what are the consequences when the sons of God mingle with the daughters of men? What is the consequence of not coming out? What is the consequence of being unequally yoked with unbelievers? I can only see Genesis 6, judgment.
Deterioration.
Judgment. It may look fine for a while. They had sons and daughters. They were heroes. They were great men. But it wasn't long before they were all washed away in the flood. And only one tiny little family was saved in the ark. I'm saying this for my instruction and yours. I'm saying this as a warning to us. Is individually, I want to be separate from the world. I want to reach out to the world to see the world saved. But I know there is such a thing as who is on the Lord's side. Remember what Francis Ridley Havergal said? Who will leave the world's side? Who will leave? Huh? So any unbeliever listening to this recording, you're in the wrong camp, my friend. You're in the wrong camp. You're in the majority, but you're in the wrong camp. Leave the world side. We are told in Hebrews we have to go outside the camp. We have to go out and be offensive. We have to leave the world side and be joined to Christ. There is a cost in it, my friend, but to mingle the world and Christ is, I believe, fatal. That's my word for us. Now, whether I was right to bring it to you here this morning in this room, I don't know. But I think we need to remember these things. Things are desperate, in my opinion. We must not mingle spiritual and carnal, flesh and spirit.